Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew. Sound the
battle cry. Two men,
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone.
Rest. Hello, Andrew.
Edwin, what's up, my man?
Well, I am loving me some Psalm 86 this week.
Yeah?
We've gotten into some deep waters.
It
and
really
I want to learn some
great,
more.
Man. We've got maybe added some new words to our bingo. I'm not sure.
I doubt that. I sure hope henotheism does not become
was
something we talk about
list.
Enough to be in the bingo card.
With the inclusio.
We have done that. We've talked about inclusio.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This week, weren't you suggesting we might have an inclusio within an inclusio?
Something like that. I don't know.
Mind blown.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So you have the inclusio with the psalm and then with those final stanzas. So
yeah.
With the word, with Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good point.
Very good.
So an inception inclusio. Inclusio, is that what that is?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to have to fact check you on that. Well, maybe we can do an outtake later and find out if you hit that one right.
Why don't you read Psalm 86?
Do
Let's
one of those
move on.
What Did We Learn Today segments.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so Psalm 86 from the New International Version, a prayer of David. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
So the NIV there, they made a choice that I really appreciate. Back, read verse 2 again.
Verse 2. Yeah. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you.
Honestly, I don't remember what the other translation said. Maybe I would have picked up on it then, but I caught it today. So the ESV, preserve my life for I am godly. But I like the devoted. And the reason I do is because the word translated devoted is chassid, which is a form of the word chesed.
Yeah.
They're connected and they're related. And that chesed word is used multiple times in this psalm. It's the loyal love. It's the steadfast love that God has. And so what we have is this meeting of God and David as they're coming together, David with his devotion to God, his chassid, and God with his loyal love toward David and toward Israel, his chesed. I'm sure I'm making a mockery of how those words should be pronounced, but there you go.
Well, I
love that. I love that they use devoted.
And with the New King James, it was holy.
Holy,
preserve my life, for I'm holy. And that, again, that idea of separation for God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really love that. I realized as you were reading today that, even though everybody listening has slept since yesterday's conversation, I think I made a point that, hey, we'll come back to verse 9, and then we never close that loop. So let me just throw this out real quick. So we'll wrap up. The segment here yesterday, as we were talking about the henotheism and the monotheism,
oh, right,
and how Yahweh is different from all the other gods, and how there's none like you among the gods, but the reason there's none like you is, well, because actually, Yahweh, you're the only God.
Right.
Notice verse 9. I forgot yesterday to explain how verse 9 fit in that. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Because he's the only God, all these other nations, their gods don't exist. The gods that they're worshiping don't exist.
Okay.
And so number one, they don't exist because, well, Yahweh actually made those nations. Mm-hmm. He made the entire world. He's God of the whole world. But he also made those nations. I mean, nations and their right. borders are there because God has established their borders. We'll,
yeah.
we'll read that in the New Testament, especially. And what's eventually going to happen is all nations, no matter what their false gods, no matter what their idolatry, no matter what their atheism, eventually everyone will bow the knee before God. Mm-hmm. Everyone will confess, well, that Jesus is Lord. Of course, now that's moving into the New Testament. But the idea here is that he alone is God. Mm-hmm. He made all the world. Mm-hmm. He made all the nations. His works are mighty and wondrous. And he listens, and those other gods don't, because they don't exist. But eventually, all the nations will be coming to God to worship him, because he's the only one.
No, I appreciate that. And that certainly goes along with a far more developed monotheism.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, verse 11 was what I was really hoping to talk about today.
You want to talk about teaching?
Yes, I love this. Teach me your way, O Lord.
Mm.
To me, yeah. this is a significant statement.
So I'm seeing a little pattern in what's coming up in this psalm.
Okay.
Because
explain it to me.
Well, he has been beseeching God to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me. Hear me.
Mm.
And now he's going to listen.
Teach me.
Teach me.
Teach me. You know what? I hadn't even thought of that in that approach.
Well, but I mean,
seeing that contrast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like last week's psalm.
And you know, the beauty of that is hear me, save me. Hear me, save me. Teach me.
Yeah.
I want to listen to you and I want to know you. You know, saved for what? To be able to receive from God and walk in the way of God. That's great.
And how he, could you read in your NIV again, the verse 11, just how they worded that completely?
Oh, yeah. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name.
Very good. Here's the thing. You want to read the New King James? Go ahead.
They talk about give me an undivided heart. The New King James, verse 11, that was intriguing to me. Unite my heart.
Yeah.
To fear your name.
Yeah. So it's make my heart single.
Single.
Be pure hearted.
The pure hearted.
Yes. And yeah. See, don't be a double minded man.
And that makes me think of the Beatitude.
Sure.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's that same idea, huh?
Makes me think of James. You know, cleanse your hands, you sinner, purify your hearts,
right.
you double minded.
Right.
So, yeah. All of this goes
together.
So
those are some Old Testament concepts, huh?
It's just interesting how all of the Word of God ties together and comes out to be this unified story about God and who he is and how we should serve him. It's amazing that we find these cross references like this. But so here's what I'm getting from this. I think about one of the struggles that I think I've had in my own walk with the Lord, but I think is a very common struggle. There are a lot of people that are basically, teach me enough of your way that I can go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm really, this is not a question about what motivations are proper. I think avoiding punishment is a proper motivation. I think pursuing God's reward is a proper motivation. That's what I'm talking about. What I see here is that I do fear that there are a lot of folks who claim to have given their allegiance to God,
mm-hmm.
but the way they approach it is a very bartering, just teach me enough. I mean, what are the requirements? What's it going to take to actually, I mean, I like this world and I like a lot of stuff in this world. And I'm just going to admit it to you. I'm going to pursue some things from this world. So God, if you could just tell me, what's the absolute minimum requirement? What is it? What have I got to give up to be able to be in heaven? What are the things I have to do? I mean, how much do I have to read my Bible to go to heaven? How often do I have to go to church to go to heaven?
So,
you know, which sins do I have to make sure to cut out? And can I dabble in some of them a little bit? And I just want to know how to get to heaven.
Are you kind of describing there, kind of putting some handles on there, this idea of what a divided heart looks like?
Yes.
You know, that because it's not united for the Lord, because it is divided, I want, you know, maybe just enough of God, but I don't really want all of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave the Lord or the world.
Yeah. Right? I'm going to get baptized because, okay, I know the scripture says you got to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And I want God to take me into his home in eternity, but kind of between now and then, Lord, could you just leave me alone?
It's like that old country song, you know, that everybody wants to go to heaven.
Nobody wants to go there now.
Nobody wants to go right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's the divided heart, isn't it? Divided loyalty.
But here's David. It's not, teach me your way, O Lord, so that in the end I can go to heaven. It's, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. He's talking about, I want to know your way, right, not so I know enough that in the end I get the reward I really want instead of the punishment I'm trying to avoid. It's, Lord, I actually kind of like you. I like your ways. I love the things you do. I think you're pretty awesome. And basically, I just want to be with you. I want to do things the way you do them. I want to walk in the ways that are your ways. I want this to impact me right now. I don't want you leaving me alone. I want you directing my paths. I want you guiding my steps. I want you telling me how to walk through this world that I'm stuck in before I get to be with you. I want to have as much of you right now as I possibly can. I want to have as much of your way right now. So it's not, teach me just enough that I can enjoy the world but still get heaven in the end. It's like, look, I'm not worried about anything else. I want your ways, God. Your ways are amazing and I want them. Please teach them to me.
This is an intriguing thought to me. So this idea, and maybe it's phrased a little different in yours, but in verse 11, the request, he says, give me an undivided heart. I want this from God.
The just so you know, the ESV says, unite my heart to fear your name. So it's a statement to God. You have to do this. You have to unite my heart so that I can fear your name.
And so what an incredible request. You know, the awareness that my heart is divided, my loyalties are divided, and God, I need you to fix this in me. I need a new heart created in me.
Last week in Psalm 85, we talked about the contrast between folly and wisdom. And where does wisdom begin?
With the fear of the Lord.
I think, to me, one of the really fascinating aspects of this psalm is it's not unite my heart to love you. You know, remember the Shema. The Shema is the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And here is a request to make my heart one so that all of it is fearing you. And I know that for us today, I think the struggle we often have as we struggle with love versus fear is we think of those just emotionally as opposed to volitionally, as opposed to action. And the actions of loving God and the actions of fearing God are usually the same actions. And when I love God, I submit to him. When I fear God, I submit to him. When I love God, I walk in his ways. When I fear God, I walk in his ways. And but David's goal, again, is not just give me enough so that in the end I get something. It's I want you. I want to fear you. And I want my whole heart to be devoted to you. And so I'm asking for that. And I guess the thing that I want to point out, Andrew, is that when I'm in this kind of barter mentality, even if I'm really, really, really strict, even if the rules that I come up with, well, I mean, you know what? If you want heaven in the end, well, you got to get rid of all sins. You got to go to church 15 times a week. And you got to read your Bible for 7 hours a day. And you've got to pray for seven more hours a day. And I work my hardest and do that. If my approach is, well, you know, just because I want heaven in the end, as opposed to because I want God, I'm not sure that being strict about that approach is actually going to give us salvation. Now, I think the issue is, do I want God? If I want God and I pursue God and I want his ways and I pursue his ways and I seek his help and his strength in that, that the strictest barterer is not going to make it.
Yeah.
But the one who is pursuing God, even if they haven't made it as far as the strictest barter, the one who's going to have God.
And even that barterer is really trying to save themselves.
Yes.
You know, save themselves by their own works. Yeah, Cut this deal and look what I've done for you and look what I've done to earn my penance or whatever it is, as opposed to appreciating this wonderful gift of grace in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's wrap up with a prayer. Lord God, teach us your way. Teach us your way, O Lord, so that we may walk in your ways. Unite our hearts so that we may fear your name and be delivered and set free by your truth. It's through your Son, Jesus, who is the truth, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at christiansmeethere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.
A prayer of David. Hear, O Lord, and answer me. Hear, man. Teach me your way, O Lord. And I will make.
Sorry.